to the Conservative Liberal. We're in week 3108. That's the way we do things around here. We do it by the week. Just like, you know, kind of a like a 60 minutes, but not really, because, you know, I was just bringing that up as an analogy because 60 minutes is a weekly show. Well, right now, I'm a weekly show. You know, could be nice to be an everyday show. There's always something going on every day. But, you know, with doing this and doing that, this is what I can do, and I'm here to do it as best I can and give it to you the way I see it. You know, what's going on in the world is, who knows what's going on in the world. I guess if you tune in to your favorite radio show or your favorite news channel, you kind of get a glimpse of what's going on in the world. If you're listening to this show, then you're going to hear what's going on in the world, my world, your world, and, you know, maybe some world that you're not even familiar with. So that's what I'm here for, is to give you an update on the things of what's important to me. I mean, you're probably thinking, well, why do I care what's important to him? Well, you know, in everyday life, you know, you're listening to this person, you're listening to that person, either on the, when you're with somebody, or you're out in the world, or you know, you're meeting strangers. You know, you're always wanting to know what's going on. I mean, it's our inquisitive nature, just trying to learn things. You know, that's what we like to do. That's what keeps us going. So let's see, what do I have today? Well, I just wanted to bring up, so watching this, I watch a fair amount of movies. I don't do a lot of critiquing of movies because, you know, it's kind of an eye of the beholder thing. I mean, what somebody likes, somebody dislikes. I think being a movie critic could be a very difficult thing. I mean, you're telling people what they should see, what they shouldn't see. I mean, that's too much responsibility. I think people should kind of just see what they want to see, and if they like it, they like it. If they don't, then hopefully they'll get something out of it, and hopefully it won't be a complete waste of time. But I watched I'm in the middle of watching a movie, more of a documentary type of thing, called The Recruiter. And it's basically about one of the most decorated soldiers of our time, I think, right now, Sergeant Uzi. I think I'm saying that name right. And he's out there, you know, of course he's serving our country in every capacity he can, but, you know, when he's not, he's out here getting the young men to sign up, and he's doing it in a very positive way. I've just blown away by it so far, and very impressed with these young men. And, you know, I was thinking about it, I was thinking, this is a very sad thing because, no, it's a good thing. What I'm saying is, a sad thing is because nobody hears about this stuff. Nobody sees this stuff. All we hear is the negative. You know, that's what we, you know, that's what we, all we do is tune into is the negative. We don't ever discuss the positive people in our world, in our community, in America, that, you know, do these amazing things for people and be role models so that people could, you know, have somebody to look up to, and, you know, young men especially who are, you know, maybe don't have the direction. There was some young women in there too who maybe have some direction or the loss of a direction. They're trying to find direction. And it's just, it was just such a heartwarming, beautiful story so far. I mean, I'll let you know when I finish it, but I just think that this is the kind of thing that should be shown in our schools. You know, that it shows what the kind of, what we're made of here, what kind of people we have in this country. So anyways, that's one of the things that we're discussing here, is the greatness of our country. Right now I'd like to take a break and go to our first excerpt. You know, what I do is, if you're not familiar with the show, is we break down the other talk show guys. You know, some people on the left, some people on the right. And we find, we just take bits and pieces of their shows, and we just try to rip them apart. That's what I like to do. I like to rip people apart when I think that they're not, you know, I try not to take people out of context because I don't think that's fair. But on the other hand, you know, people just can't just see and say whatever they want. See and say, I don't know, can you see whatever you want? No, you can see whatever you want, but I don't think you can say whatever you want. So we're going to go to our first excerpt here, and I think who's up is Rush. Let's go to Rush right now.
This party cannot even get on the same page about all this. This is a party that has invested in defeat, and Pelosi still is. Obama is obviously privy to, he's running a different campaign here than she is. And he's obviously seen some focus group data that indicate that he'd better get on board this thing because the American people like victory. And to try to talk it down and to suggest it isn't one is not going to help him. The thing is, I know what a lot of you are saying, but Rush, you're a fraud. He's just a plain old fraud. I mean, this is worse than Clinton. I agree with you. I was watching a little television here at the top of the hour break, and CNBC, the street sweetie, was promoing some things coming up in her program, and one of them was Obamanomics. What the hell is Obamanomics? And then I remembered, today Obama has a meeting with the close economic advisors, and it's the same retreads from the Clinton years. There's no change, and there certainly isn't anything new. Obamanomics? Boy, he dropped that Middle East trip real fast, didn't he?
You see where he goes with this? He goes nowhere. I don't know why so many people listen to him, but I don't even know why I listen to him sometimes. I don't know, he's an interesting guy. He's got an interesting voice. He captures your imagination and greatness somehow. I don't know. I don't know what he does. Maybe he's a hypnotist and we don't know. It's something about him that makes us want to keep coming back. But, you know, what he doesn't get is the fact that, you know, there's people behind these people. These people like McCain or Obama, they're not coming up with their own ideas on how the economy and the, you know, what's going to make the world better as far as financial woes that are happening to all of us. You know, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, they're mouthpieces, and they pick the people that, or the people pick them, who, you know, in the direction that they that they think that they're gonna want to go in, and then the Democrats are up to what they're up to, and the Republicans are up to what they're up to. You know, it's kind of like a, it's, I don't know, it's a catch 22. They're both, it's both not good, folks. I have to say it. It's just, you know, as much as I don't want to say it, and you know, I believe in our system of government and everything, but you know, you just have to realize that there are just people that are on the inside, and they do these things, and they manipulate the way, you know, so it works for them. So you just kind of have to, you know, really, when you go in that voting booth, folks, you just have to really decide where you think, what direction you really want to go, you know. But as far as, you know, listening to this guy and have him, you know, berate one party over another, it makes no sense to me, because they're primarily the same. I mean, you can bash them both equally. So let's see. Let's go to another one here. Let's find another excerpt here.
Why would they attack me instead of attacking those who set off these bombs? Why would they gloat over the attack upon me instead of saying I'm going to back Savage in his lawsuit against CAIR because I don't like them and I think that they may be a front group for radical elements in this country? Why is it that you empty suits in the media go after Michael Savage? You want the answer? Because you're jealous and you're cowards. Because you don't have the guts to attack CAIR, and you don't have the guts to attack Ahmadinejad, and you don't have the guts to attack radical Islamists. You're all cowards. That's why we call you empty skirts. And let me tell you something else. You're not going to silence me. No matter how you try to side with the evil of this society, I will not be silenced. God put me here, and God is going to keep me here. And only when God wants me gone from the airwaves will I, Michael Savage, leave the airwaves. And I'll make it very clear to you again. You're not driving me out of radio. I'll drive you out of radio before you drive me out of radio. And I will expose CARE, and I'll expose Media Matters as long as I have the money to do so. And so I'm asking you to go to michaelsavage.com, see what I wrote, see what the judge wrote, see what the case is about, and then send money to the Freedom of Speech Defense Fund. It's as simple as that. Now let's go along here. I got 1 minute to last here, for 1 minute right now, for one reason. Just before this show, I was on my flagship station in New York on WOR, on Steve Malzberg's show, and Steve is the only talk show host in America, the only one, who had the guts and the brains to understand why he should have Michael Savage on to tell his side of the story. You wouldn't expect that from the golfer, would you? The golfer is a front man for the oil industry and the Republican Party. The golfer is a doorman of the Republican Party. I don't care if he makes $380 million a year. Mussolini made more than the golfer. So what, I should respect money? He is a doorman.
Well, I don't know about that, Michael. I don't know if people really are scared. I just think they have other ideas of what they want to do or what they think. They think that, you know, this kind of stuff isn't going to happen. They're obviously confused or they're misled and they don't know their history. And they don't care to be educated because they're selfish and they're into themselves. And that's when you coin the phrase liberalism is a disease, because it truly is. By just going after them and calling them names or anything, I don't think that is the cure. You know, obviously when you have a disease, you have to go for a cure. And in order to cure somebody, you have to enlighten them to what the facts are. And I think you just got to keep doing more of that, Michael. Obviously, I probably respect you the most of all talk show hosts of all time. You're the guy. But, you know, you also, I think sometimes you let your ego get in your way. And I think you're not coming off the way people will turn you off, Michael, because they're not going to want to hear some, you know, screaming guy who sounds like he's out of control. And that's where you come from. You come from that place where you sound like you're out of control. And, people get annoyed with that. They get a headache from it. You have to learn how to curb that. So in any event, you know, as far as going after our friend here, Rush, you know, and I don't blame you for going after him, because, you know, when I listen to, you know, most of the things that he says, he's never taken the side that, you know, that the Republicans are do anything wrong. I mean, you know, I think that there was a time there where he was kind of going after McCain in a negative way, but he obviously, didn't really pursue that because he didn't, you know, like where he didn't want to do anything to damage the party. In the way that, you know, to let any kind of Democrat, you know, come in there. You know, he wants to try to, you know, use his influence to, you know, get people to go where he wants to go. And, you know, you can't blame him for that. He's got his own radio show and people are going to listen to that. And that's, you know, that's what they, he wants to be the one that directs people where he wants them to go. And, you know, that's his right to do. I mean, that's, you know, it's probably primarily why he's on the radio, you know, other than the fact that he's making $400 million for, you know, whatever period of time. That's mind-boggling amounts of money. Seems like a good business to be in, actually, being a talk show host. So that's where it's at with that. Let's pick another excerpt here. Here we go.
Message on my BlackBerry. Oh, we have an important announcement for your Delta flight. Your 4:30 flight has been changed to 8:30. And I'm like, well, isn't the whole point of getting these messages that you get them before the flight actually takes off? Okay? Then I'm getting out of the cab with 3 minutes to make the Acela Express. Okay? Running out of the car, raining, horrible, you know, trying to grab Maria. The phone rings. My cell phone goes off. This is a special announcement from Delta Airlines. The 4:30 flight is now leaving at 8:30. I mean, at 6:30. Well, it just was 8:30. Now it's 6:30. Get into the train station. Finally, I'm lucky, get on the train. While I'm on my way to Washington with Maria, I get another phone call and another email message saying the flight has been canceled. Now, aren't you supposed to get people that information in a timely fashion? Why did I sign up for these Delta alerts? And by the way, it kept calling me over and over and over again. I think lonely people must sign up for these alerts because you just keep getting them. I swore I got one this morning when I woke up. By the way, in case you didn't know, your flight was canceled. And Maria, of course, is howling, laughing. She thinks the thing is hysterical. Every time the phone goes off, I'm like, stop calling me! No, this is what happens when you try to travel on the weekends in the summer on the East Coast corridor. Nightmare. You just stay at home. Don't go anywhere. This is why people stay at home, or they drive to Hershey Park and have fun.
I don't know. Does anybody really care? I don't know. I guess I sometimes put these excerpts on to just let you know that, or show the people out there who's listening, that sometimes you're just listening to things that you're wondering, why am I listening to that? I mean, you know, I have my own, you know, deals or my own problems or my own woes of having to, you know, deal with this and deal with that. And I'm late for the cab or the plane's canceled, the flight's canceled, the train's canceled, or I gotta reschedule. We all have to deal with stuff. I mean, what are you, alone? We got to hear your, you know, your problems. I mean, you know, that's that. I think that is the problem. Is I think that, you know, it comes down to being patient. I mean, you know, that's what, you know, patience is a virtue. You know, try to get as many virtues as we can, folks. Look them up. Look them all the virtues. Right now, I'm talking about patience. And, you know, it's very difficult. You know, you got to be somewhere. You're going to miss this. You're going to miss that. You know, what's it all mean in the end anyway? I don't know. But, you know, we all get caught up in that moment where we have to be somewhere. And sometimes, folks, it's out of our control. And when things are out of your control, you just make the best of them. And that's the point of this whole thing, is just be patient. Try to gain more patience with everything that you're doing and slow down. Let's find another excerpt here.
So it was a little fissure, whereas ABC and CBS got a little more skeptical. NBC and particularly NBC, just outright, you know, let's elect him, please, begging. CNN tries to mask it, but not very well. Fox News Channel, the tone of some of our Obama coverage has not been good. Those people have been spoken to by Fox News managers and said, look, if you're a news guy, you have to report the news straight. If you're a host, then you can give your opinion. But this fist bump stuff and the baby mama stuff, that was just foolish mistakes. And they were dealt with quickly. Foolish mistakes. Because you don't want to be put in this Fox News channel, which is a traditional-leaning news channel. You don't want to give the NBC Newses of the world any ammunition. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, if you want good information, Fox News is the place to get it. I mean, Brit Hume and Shepard Smith and these people are going to give you solid, good information that's vetted. If you go over to the network news, you really don't know what you're getting over there. I mean, you simply don't know. Here, I mean, because the spotlight is so intense, and hear my words here. Because the spotlight on a Fox News channel is so intense, because the far left loons in the media, the New York Times, the LA Times, these people are watching everything we do so closely, there's a much more stringent discipline to getting facts on the air. Because any mistake that we make will be rammed down our throat. Doesn't make perfect sense. I mean, we have a business to run here, and the business is news. We're in a business of news.
I don't know. I don't know. His whole tone is just, I don't know. It just makes you want to go to sleep. It's like, I don't know. Well, anyways, you know, as far as getting information goes, I watch a fair amount of news. I watch CNN. I watch Fox. I watch the Business Channel. I listen to a lot of news. I don't know. I'm watching the 9 o'clock news. Well, it's my I don't know if you want to call it my local news, but I'm on the West Coast, and I'm watching Channel 9 news at 9 o'clock. And I got to tell you, folks, it is the best news you can come up with. I mean, this news is incredible. I don't know how they do it. It's just maybe it's a little too much of the weather girl, although she's pretty hot. But that's another reason to tune in, is she's pretty hot. But I think that the way they present the news, it's not biased. They cover a lot of subjects. And let's face it, folks, we don't have all day and night to listen to news all day and night. I mean, maybe you can tune it in at work or maybe whatever, and you got your Sirius, or, you know, you can check it out that way. But, you know, so I think that, you know, you're trying to encapsulate the world in an hour, and I think that's probably virtually an impossible task. But I think Channel 9 is at 9 o'clock, does it better than anybody I've seen. And I like I say, folks, I watch a lot of it. So I'm not, you know, trying to sell their news to you, but I got to tell you, I would still check it out. I TiVo it, because that way you don't have to be there at exactly 9 o'clock. But forget the local news. I mean, I don't know if this is, I don't know, maybe it's not local news. I don't know. I mean, I know that the 11 o'clock news, your Channel 2, 4, and 7, that's definitely local news, and you get nothing there, folks, nothing. But the 9 o'clock news, I don't know if it's, it feels like it's, you know, national news. That's the way they present it. I mean, there's a few local stories on there, but it's mostly the stuff that's going on in the nation and the world. And you got this guy, Brian Brown, who does the commentaries of the state of the world. And it's very, very, very informative. So check it out, folks. All right, let's go to our final excerpt here. I think I like to always end the show here with a little bit of religion. So let's go to a little religious excerpt here. Here we go.
Be who you are. To try and get a hold of your pastor and to find out the reasons, and if you feel so led, to give us a call back when you do hear a response, so that we might learn as to what the pastor is thinking. There might be something that the pastor really believes, or there's something that he feels led to do, and I think he has the right to explain that. It's obviously not a sin to remove the flag in the context of church. So it's not like he's sinning or anything, but there's got to be some purpose because of the beauty and what it stands for, and at a time when the United States is at war, it's a wonderful reminder to those that are thinking of spiritual things, like those inside of a congregation, to remind themselves to be praying for the troops and to be praying for those that defend the very freedom that the United States has. And so I think that it's a wonderful thing to have that flag in the church, but your pastor might have a legitimate reason or feel called to separate those two things in that building, and he deserves the right to be able to explain that to you as much as you deserve the right to hear his explanation. And if you so feel led, I would love to hear what that explanation is, because it is a curiosity to remove those flags, even the Christian flags. There is a point where Christians can, and I'm not saying that this particular case is necessarily that, but where Christians can get so lost in the letter of the law that they forget what the purpose of the law is.
I think that everybody has the right to run their business the way they want to run it. I think in America here, I think, you know, I don't know what the ruling is, what kind of symbols you have to have in any particular type of organization. So, I mean, if somebody had a flag in their church and then decided to remove it, that would really bother me. Because why would all of a sudden they want to remove, you know, our flag, you know, especially in our country, a country that we need to all try to be very proud of. I mean, we need to fight the system a little bit. We need to, you know, always question things. But that, you got to remember, folks, that's what America is, and that the freedom it gives us to allow us to do that. So if you can appreciate that, then you can, you know, you might not be so, you know, hardened by, you know, the system and how it's out to get you and everything. And then, you know what, there is some of that going on out there. We need to constantly be investigating that, folks, and exposing that however we can. But I think, you know, you have the right to run your business the way you want to run it and have the symbols you want to have, you know, where you want to have them, as long as it's not to offend. And if it offends, then you have to explain, you know, what you're doing. And if it's so offensive that you have to bring the authorities in, then they have to decide whether you can do it or not. So, let's see, what happened this week? We had an earthquake in California. I don't know. It felt like that it was a moderate earthquake. It's, you know, where I felt, you know, it didn't seem that horrendous or anything. And there wasn't a lot of damage. And that goes to show the kind of strict codes that we have, building codes that we have, that allows us to, you know, live in, you know, safe dwellings. And it's reassuring. But let's face it, folks, this wasn't no eight-pointer, you know, so we don't really know what's going to happen when we hit one of those. And, God, you know, God help us all when that happens, because, you know, it could happen. I mean, history tells us it happens, and you know, we don't know. You know, God, you know, I don't know if it's a God thing or it's just a natural thing, but it looms, folks, so we just have to be prepared. Let's see, what are the subjects I want to touch upon? I don't know. Let's talk about marriage. I don't know if you're married out there. I know that it's. I don't want to get too personal, but You know, I was listening to, I listened to some of the, advisors out there who call themselves therapists, and people call in and they get advice on things, and you're listening, and you just, sometimes I feel like I want to just rip the radio right out of the wall because I just can't believe the advice they're giving to these people. I mean, it's like they give the advice to these people like they know these people and they know their situations, and they're just too judgmental, folks. You know, it comes down to you have to make your own decisions. Marriage is a very difficult thing, especially after, a long time. A long marriage is very hard. But you have to decide, you want to be alone or do you want to be with somebody that you've been with? And you have to learn how to, you have to be very, very generous in the compassionate department. That's what it comes down to. Patience, you have to be mindful of what you say, and it's just, I don't know, when you're first together with somebody, you feel like you have a lot in common, and then as time goes by, you have your interests, they have their interests, and how many times have I heard from people through my travels how the second marriage is the greatest marriage, because you're meeting somebody who you can finally have something in common in that later stages of life. But I'll tell you right now, I think when it comes down to it, for me, I just rather be with somebody that I've been with all my life. I just think that's just, there's nothing more special than that. And in closing, I'd like to congratulate the Dodgers for picking up Manny Ramirez. I think he's going to add a lot of color to that organization. He's an incredible player. And like to see the Dodgers go all the way here now. They've got a heck of a team, but they just got to figure out how to finish things off. They've lost a lot of close games. They've got to finish things off in the end. That's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. Looking forward to seeing you next time, and God bless all.